Sermon's a bit different today. Over the last few weeks, we've been remembering, and we remembered the good news that Jesus Christ saves. We remembered the grace of Jesus and the importance of our sharing the grace of Jesus, the very same kind of grace that He offered to us. And we've remembered love. We remembered the love of God and how we are to love one another with the very presence of Jesus in our hearts and guided by the Holy Spirit as we do so, empowered by God to love and to forgive and to love one another. Well, today, a little bit of out of the ordinary for me, but I don't have a script because that's not what the Lord put on me today. We're going to remember faith today. So let's pray as we look at God's Word. Gracious God, we come by faith, a faith that You have given us. And we remember, not only from Your Word, but from Your acts of kindness, Your acts of goodness, Your acts of mercy, Your acts of grace and love to us here at Grace. And I ask Jesus that everything I share would be worthy of that remembrance. And I pray it in Your name. Amen. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Be up here on the screen, and I invite you to follow along there. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Well, I want to remember some moments of faith here at Grace. And let me say, in relationship to faith, that if we see with our eyes, if we understand with our minds alone, we're not seeing with our hearts. We're not seeing what God would have us see and what God would have us do. Sometimes our eyes and our minds get in the way. And so I'm going to go way back for a little bit to remember. I'm going to go back to when I was serving a church in Alaska. Back in about 1998, 1999, Joyce and I had some folks that said, hey, you know, you ought to consider going into new church development. And we said, no way. I've seen those new church development pastors. They're worn out. Okay. And seldom, if ever, have I met a new church development pastor that said, oh yeah, I did this church and I did that church. And most of them go, I did one and that was enough. Okay, so Joyce and I were seeing with our eyes and with our mind. And you know what? When you listen to the Lord with your heart, He helps you get over those things that you see. He helps you get over the barriers that seem impossible. Joyce and I said, well, you know, we didn't want to go to a new church development because we had our youngest son, he was just going into first grade, and our oldest was just going into sixth grade, and we wanted to go to a church where they had a dynamic Christian education ministry, and they had a youth program, and they would be able to plug in and really grow in their relationship with God through that church, wherever it was at. God got us over that. You know, many of you may not know how much of an impact and an imprint that our sons have had upon the church. I mean, I tell you what, if it wasn't for their computer knowledge, we'd have been up the... Okay. You know, the logo, this round logo, our oldest son developed. They both participated in the worship team, and you know what? They got involved in faith in the church, and God showed us that, no, it wasn't an organized church. I'll bring your sons along. And they're both very active in their churches now. We just praise God for that. But it was a moment of faith. Joyce and I said, well, you know what? New church development, there's not a lot of money in new church development. God got us over that. God got us here. And He brought us along as we listened with our hearts. You know, we kept seeing and listening to the barriers. But God gave us faith. And He told us to listen, and we listened. So there was the start. There's, I think, four of you here that I saw, and we sat in the living room. There was probably a half a dozen, and we said, well, how do we do this? And we contemplated, we thought, we prayed, we reasoned, you know what? Joyce and I moved here in June of 2001. By January, we're getting ready, and the first ministry that God put upon our hearts was not a worship ministry. Okay? What are you saying, Lord? How can we start a church without a worship ministry? Listen. Live by faith and believe. So we started an after-school program for children at Woodman Hills Elementary. We called it CRASH. Okay? Kids rejoicing and serving Him. And what a blessing it was. I mean, it grew to big numbers. We literally filled the gym with kids back then. And then we started a Friday night open gym. You know, where's worship in this? And then it was April. And we said, well, people said, what are you here? Why are you doing this? And we said, well, God wants us to start a church. Well, let's worship. And we decided we would have a preview service. So we had a preview service in April and a preview service in May and a preview service in June. And people said, when are we going to go weekly? Okay. And so we, along that time, at the same time, consulted with a specialist, okay, in new church development. His name was Jim Griffiths. He came out of Willow Creek Church in Chicago. He came down, drove around with us, and talked to us about what was going to happen, what the vision was that God had given us, and the tug that He was putting upon our hearts by faith to grow a church. He said, well, you know what? It's pretty tough in Colorado Springs. His statistical information was you'll have an 89% chance of failure. You have an 11% chance of success. I'm thankful God is not into statistics. Because God isn't. He's into faith. God is into faith, not into the statistics. Not into the numbers that we can see and what everything else goes on in the world. He's into faith, and I pray that you'll remember that. So, Woodman Hills, we're ready to start weekly. Talked to the school district. The school district said, okay, about the end of August right here, you can start weekly. So we started telling people, we're going to start weekly. Okay? 2 weeks before we're ready to start, we're getting the word out that we're starting weekly. The school district says, we can't find anybody to work, so we're not going to be able to rent you the space at the school. Now what? Okay, Lord. Why? You see, faith is a matter, all along the way, I think, and I pray you'll see this, that faith is a matter of the world throwing up barriers and the things that we see that says, now what? We can't do this. Now what? We can't. But we can when we put our faith in God. It's not what we see. It's not what we think. It's what we believe and what God does that makes all the difference. So come along, Latigo Trails. How many people remember Latigo Trails? Hey, quite a few of you. You know, it's a miracle you're alive. I would take, you know, some people eat M&Ms. I would have to take allergy tablets. Okay, like that. But you know what? The same guy that told me, I called him when I said, you know, we can't find a place in Falcon. There's no old buildings. The storefronts, there wasn't any storefronts at that front time. And they said, I said, you know, we're going to go 5 miles north to an equestrian center. He said, well, it won't kill you, but it's a severe blow to your head. But once again, he said, if you can maintain there, good, until you can get back to town. And I remember people saying, hey, when you guys move back to Falcon, let us know. Like, 5 miles was so far away. I mean, I'd see the same people. They would drive to Walmart on Powers because that was the closest Walmart at the time. They would go there twice a day. Okay, but 5 miles this direction was, when you come back to town, we'll come and visit you. And you know what? Those were some precious times. I remember one Easter, I literally was back against the wall because there were people and children on the floor, packed into that room. It was amazing what God did, and how in the world could people find us out there? But you know what Jesus told me? He said, I was born in a manger. An equestrian center is good enough for you. It's not what you see. It's not what you think. It's what you have faith. It's who you have faith in that makes all the difference. Well, then I was watching all the time, and I noticed some steel go down at the corner of Woodman and Meridian. And then a sign that said, Future Sight. Okay. Once again, how they're going to build. Maybe we could get space there. And there was an interesting thing kind of going on with the presbytery at that time, who was kind of sponsoring this new church development. And I went to them and I said, you know, this is a moment. This is a moment. I don't know if I said faith, but I'm going to go by that one for us. Because we won't become the church that God intends and has given us a vision to be if we stay at Latigo, because we're in one little space and it's already full and it's far away and it's no visible. And so they had a special meeting. They voted and said, okay, if you can pursue renting space there. I thought to myself, oh Lord, they're making this building out of gold. I'm serious. I'm looking at the dollars. They said, you know, we thought three bays, 1,200 square feet each, 3,600 square feet, okay, to grow a church, to have offices and bathrooms and all of that stuff, and they wanted $6,300 a month for 5 years. Can we do that? You know, we're meeting in an equestrian center. Can we do that? God said, yes, look with faith. Look with your heart. 5 years at that price in that building. You know what? We did vacation Bible schools. There was no yard. Okay. We did Easter egg hunts. We did overnight sleepovers. We had parties. There was all kinds of what a wonderful time. God helped us grow. Went to three services, about wore me out. okay? Saturday night service and two on Sunday morning, and we had to in order to continue to grow towards the vision that God had given us. It was by faith. If you continue to look, it's hard to imagine with our physical eyes and understanding how it happened. In fact, I would say it's impossible because faith is hard to see. And when you look back, you go, that was faith. God did it. What a wonderful thing. Come towards the ends of the year and towards the end of about the fourth year, the building owner thought that their gold had increased in value and decided that they were going to raise the rent. You know, one of the things that was just amazing along the way was in 2007, God provided land, this spot, 35 and a half acres. 2007, Joyce's birthday, April 2nd. What a birthday present, okay? It was like, okay, golly, Lord, there wasn't even any faith barriers. We had to have faith that you just provided land. But then when the challenges began, because it was like, okay, now they're going to raise the rent where we're at. We've got land here. Now what do we do? Okay, well, it's easier to stay where you're at than it is to go to something new. It's easier to just be settled because that's what you can see and that's what you can know. But God says, I don't want you settled. So we began to look at, okay, how can we develop? How can we put a building out there? That way when we are offering everything we have to God. Because we had to walk away from all the build and all of the rent and such at the storefront. But how can we offer this to you, God? And God said, build a building. So we began the process. This was a kind of a witness. God said, okay, build a building. So we began to explore the process of building a building in 2007. And the county came to us and said, you'll need to build the road from where Stapleton ends over here to your property before you can build on your property. And we said, well, there's a little strip of land up here, okay? Can we use that? Nope. Can't use that, okay? You have to build the road. Little research said that's about $1.5 million. So we said, okay, Lord, whatever, Lord. You've called us to build out there. If we have to work for another 5 years in order to get $1.5 million to build the road, we will, but we will pray. And we will pray, and we will pray, and Lord, whatever and whenever. Okay? About 2 weeks later, maybe three at the most, the county kept calling. We kept thinking, well, they're just going to talk to us about this new road. Okay? Because they were hoping to get that road put in and that we'd pay for it. Okay? But we found out that there was another reason, another motive. A faith motive for us. Something different for the county. They sat down and they said, well, there's a developer over here. Now, that was 2007. That was before things went bust economically, okay? And they said they would need a secondary emergency access across an easement across your property. And they would be willing to build the road, okay, from Rockingham to your property, if they could have that easement so that they could develop over there. And we said to the county, but you told us we couldn't come in that way. They didn't know we'd been praying. Because they said, that can be worked out. There's an, you know, when we got the land, it didn't look like there were barriers, but then God showed us there's going to be some where we have to live by faith. So there was $1.5 million barrier out of the way. It was a blur. It really was. It was kind of like the church was on steroids during that time. Because we were growing and we were building. I was carrying around 2 cell phones all the time. This was my church phone. This was my building, the building phone. Sometimes I got those mixed up, but praise God, God brought in great leadership and volunteers. Another moment of faith along the way when it came to building. Moment of faith was we needed to raise some money in order to get the mortgage for the building, okay? The banks were going to go, okay, you're in a storefront down here, and you've got land there, but why should we loan you $1.5 million in order to build a building? We didn't have anything in savings, and so we undertook a campaign of faith. The experts, the ones you see and the ones that you think said, okay, now you can expect to get about 60% of what people pledge. Okay? That's just the way it is in their all of their work in all the churches across the world. 60% really respond over a 3-year campaign incomplete to the 100% pledges that are made. I did the calculations this morning. 150%. It's what you see and you think, or is it what you faith? Okay? Time and time again, people just kept saying, no, it's not going to happen. And what we saw told us it wouldn't happen, and what we thought would tell us it wouldn't happen, and God said, have faith. And it happened. And it happened. Well, another crossroad about, I was so busy. Doing what God had called us to do that in my relationship to the denomination that I had been a part of, I kind of just ignored it. Okay. I was more concerned about here. This is where God had called me and the people. And so the denomination began to move away from some beliefs in Scripture that I could no longer, that I could no longer go along with. And I began to say, you know what, I've got to leave. And I had written a letter, and I'd shared it with a couple of the elders, and they said, don't resign. Stay and help us leave too. And so that was part of the process. But one of the things that we had to do was we had to refinance all of the financial loans outside of the denomination that we were associated with into someplace else. And boy, you know what? That was a challenge because the banks really just look at what they see and what they can think, okay? We're by faith going, we can do this, okay? And but you know what? It was a nationwide campaign that we undertook to find a bank that would loan us the money so we could pay off over there so we could start in a new way, in a fresh way in 2012. And you know what? We want to loan money to a church that's leaving a denomination that's got that much there. And we know that most of the time what happens is those denominations split apart and we're left with the dollars. The folks that we were trying to depart from asked us directly, they said, so what are you going to do if you can't get the loans? And there was a faith statement that just said, you know what? We believe that God has called us to depart. We will go back to a storefront. Okay. This was a real concentrated time of faith because we said, let's pray. Let's trust God. Let's faith. Let's have faith in what God can do. I'm telling you, there was not a bank that was the least bit interested. So we said, okay, you know what, Lord? We're going to leave the building. We're going to leave the property. We're going to do and be what God wants us to be. We weren't looking with our eyes. We weren't thinking with our brains. We were living with faith. And within 3 days, two banks offered us great deals. In fact, we accepted one on a Friday night. The other bank called us on Monday morning and said, we'll beat that. In fact, we'll give you even better. So we had to call back to the other bank and say, they're giving us better. And they said, that's okay. You're still in your 3-day time limit, so you can okay. You know, over the years, as we've thought about refinancing, people have looked at our finances and they said, you know, I don't know how you guys did that. How did you get those kind of rates? And my response is, we didn't. God did. Because those were things that you could see and you could think about, but God worked in ways that even the banks today go, they look at it and they think about it and they run their calculations. It doesn't make sense. And faith doesn't always make sense. Well, there was a crossroad. How am I doing for time? We felt God calling us to a new denomination. Well, that can be a real time of division. And praise God, we live by faith because there wasn't. There was a couple, maybe a few. But as a whole, we lived by faith during that time. God got us through and into a new home and in a new place and in a wonderful. I guess I want to say to you as I get ready to go to something new that you need to remember to live by faith. It's not always what you see. It's not always what you know. Because when you just look at what you see and what you understand, the barriers are too big. They're just not possible. We can't do it. We just can't do it if all we do is look with what we see and what we know. But if we look by faith at a God that has all authority and all grace, in days He can break down walls, in minutes He can destroy those barriers and give us even more than we can imagine. That's living by faith. And so as a church, my last words to you are, remember. Remember to live by faith. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You've given us faith. And You've shown us time and time and time again how to live by faith. Lord, when the things appear in our eyesight and in our understanding, and it seems impossible, God, You have shown us time and time again that by faith all things are possible. And Lord, forgive us when things change and we forget that you're in charge and that you call us to live by faith in that change. And I pray for this church that they will always remember to live by faith and to share the good news of who we have that faith in, you, Jesus. And I pray it in your name. Amen.